We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life well. Rocket can at Zach Gelb, Twitter and Instagram. Give us a follow, ZACHGELB, also on our network account at CBS Sports Radio. And you could always hit us up at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Without further ado, I'm not talking about Freddie Adu. It's time to hit up a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's hear from our pal Boomer Esiason. He suggests that the Bills should trade for Saquon Barkley. This is on Kay Adams' new show, Up and Adams.
If Saquon Barkley continues to do what he's doing, if he's not traded by the trade deadline, and that's a serious thing that I would think that the Buffalo Bills would love to look at and make it to the Giants possibly. Well, why would the Giants keep him? I mean, especially if you can get a reasonably good draft pick. Now, there'll be a compensatory pick for him if he leaves via free agency next year. The highest that could be would be in the third round, assuming that they don't replace him with some other sort of free agent and spend the same kind of money. You know, that the way that they do that is kind of interesting in the offseason. But,
right.
You know, if the Bills would love to have a top-end running back and give the Giants a second or a third-round draft pick, wouldn't you? You'd have to consider it if you're the Giants.
And the Bills should definitely do that. Right now, there's too much on the plate of one Josh Allen. I know you just drafted a second-round pick in James Cook. You have Devin Motor Singletary on that team as well. But you never know how long the window is going to stay open for in the NFL. People thought the Eagles were going to be a dynasty after Super Bowl 52 in Philadelphia. People in Kansas City thought for sure after they won that Super Bowl in Florida that, oh, yeah, they would easily go win another one, and they lost the Super Bowl the following year, and then the year after that, they just lost in the AFC title game. Seattle, right? They were on their way to becoming a dynasty. They only won one. It's easier said than done. So, if you're Buffalo, forget about a dynasty. You got to win one first. And for the Bills, they've been close the last few years, really close. AFC Championship game. We know the classic game in the divisional round last year. And usually I would not be advocating to give up significant draft capital for a running back. And I don't usually like taking a running back in the first round when we get back to a draft conversation. But I always say that one disclaimer. The only way I'm on board with it, because we've seen this league, right? Derrick Henry, second round. Dalvin Cook, not a first rounder. All these guys, not first rounders. Nick Chubb. Alvin Kamara. Like you could go on and on and on, and we could sit here all night and give you a bunch of names. But when you're a team that's ready to win and your only flaw is the running game, where there's some uncertainty, yes, Saquon has had problems staying healthy. He's healthy, though, right now. If you're the Giants, you're not going to extend him after this year and give him a mega deal because he hasn't really proven that he can stay healthy and you know, we're close to winning if you're the Giants. So if you go get a second or third round pick and you see a team like Buffalo that goes less need style and says F those picks, it makes sense for both teams. You have connections there. Shane, Daboll, McDermott, Brandon Bean. They all know each other because they were all in Buffalo the last few years. I like that point by Boomer. Like, this almost makes too much sense, Ryan, for this not to happen.
I agree. And worst case, you know, he's on last year's deal. So if he gets hurt or plays well and he wants a big contract, you don't have to, you know, you're home free, if you will. So it's like a 1 year risk. Or to your point, I mean, also, too, you mentioned, you know, dynasty and winning one. You win one in Buffalo? That's like winning five in, you know, San Francisco or
Buffalo,
the Patriots.
Cleveland,
like,
you win one, that's.
You are almost set for life. Yes. So go all in.
Can I suggest another running back that could be made available?
Sure.
What about Josh Jacobs? They declined his fifth-year option. I don't think you need to give up a second-round pick for Josh Jacobs because the upside is not there like it is for Saquon Barkley. Raiders are 0-3. Josh Jacobs could be a name potentially there.
catch the ball in the backfield too, so kind of be like an every down back, if you will. Yeah. Those are two names in Barkley and in Josh Jacobs that I think are better right now than what they have, and it would be more consistent for sure.
Trying to think if there's anyone else on a team where it makes sense to move on. Okay, how about this one?
I have one. I don't know if they'll do it, but
you go first.
Well, David Montgomery with the Bears.
I think
he was drafted. I think this is year three for him. I think three or four.
Sounds right.
But either way, you're coming up eventually on what could be a contract decision. And this Bears team, I know they're 2-1.
Are you going to do that to Fields though this early in his career?
It's a fair question.
Now Khalil Herbert's been a stud.
Give you a second round pick.
You know what? You could do that. Yeah. You could. I'm just trying to see when his contract does expire. It's after this year.
Same thing, you know. You can get maybe a third rounder for him.
And you know what? You could do that now because of how good Khalil Herbert has been. You could definitely do that. I'll give you another one. Because it looks like the running back is coming back. What about Antonio Gibson? Didn't look like he was going to be the starter. Then you had the whole scenario of Brian Robinson when he got shot. Now it looks like he's going to be coming back. I saw him on the field in warmups. For whatever the reasons are, I think Antonio Gibson is a good player, but if the Commanders start to go south, which they're going to because they're not a good team, I don't even think there's a north to begin with the Commanders. But Gibson would be good in Buffalo.
Do I get nuts for a second?
Let's get crazy.
Let's get crazy.
Let's get crazy. Go ahead.
The Tennessee Titans are 1-2.
Oh, now hold on. I said this at the draft that if I'm Derrick Henry, I'm demanding a trade after this year in Tennessee if they regress. Continue. Let's get crazy.
Let's say, I don't know if this lines up exactly with the deadline, but let's say around the trade deadline, they're 3-7, let's just say. Out of the playoff picture, not going anywhere. Derrick Henry has 2 years left on his deal, or at that point, a year and a half left on his deal. If you're the Bills, would you offer a first-round pick for Derrick Henry?
Yeah. I would. Now, here's the thing. I don't think Tennessee does it.
A first-round pick if you're the Titans.
I don't think Tennessee does it.
That's the best offer, obviously. Obviously. They're going to get.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but I don't think Tennessee does it because I don't think it goes that south before the trade deadline for Tennessee. And if you get rid of A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, why does anyone want to be in that organization? Is there any more wild cards that we could throw out here? I think we hit them all.
Like, the Saints are not going to trade Alvin Kamara, right?
No. Stop. Okay.
I'm just trying to get nuts.
Here's one. If you wanted to get a little sexy.
Okay.
And this guy's having a really good season so far. I'm just looking up right now what his contract is. But you have a bad organization right now that's looking to acquire draft capital. He's only under contract for another year. Cordarrelle Patterson.
Interesting.
He's been a stud.
He's been good.
141 rushing yards last week. Went over 100 against the Saints. He's been really good. And he could catch the ball out of the backfield, too. Imagine that speed in the Buffalo offense with Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Dawson Knox.
Isaiah McKenzie.
That would be one that I would consider. Anyway, Bill Belichick. See, Hickey hates Bill Belichick. Hickey, though, walks into the newsroom this afternoon and goes, I love Bill Belichick. I'm like, excuse me? I go, this is how I know Hickey is feeling himself this week after the Colts beat the Chiefs. He just said he loved Bill Belichick walking around the newsroom. And only just saying it. It's going up to everyone. Ack, Marco, Schwei, like everyone in the newsroom. Lou Gower. I love Bill Belichick. I'm like, Hickey, you drunk? You intoxicated right now? I know you were talking about some of the sniffy stuff last night. Like, dude, what's going on? This is why Hickey loves Bill Belichick. Listen up.
Does he have a high ankle sprain?
Day by day. What do I look like? A doctor? An orthopedic surgeon? Like, I don't know. Talk to the medical experts.
What are the medical experts on staff said to you?
Day by day. We'll evaluate him, Dave. I mean, what difference does it make to me? What do you think I'm going to read the MRI? That's not my job, so.
But it's theirs, and they talk to you about it, right?
Yeah, it's day by day. It's getting better day by day.
See how it is tomorrow. It's a lot better than it was yesterday. See what it is.
Yeah, it's day by day. Day by day. We're on to day by day. We're not on to finding a new offensive coordinator. We are not on to helping our young quarterback. We are day by day. Day by day. What am I, a doctor? You think I'm going to look at an MRI? I just tell them what I say day by day.
By the way, breaking news. I just saw it out of the corner of my eye. Aaron Judge. He has done it. He has tied Roger Maris, 61 home runs in a season. By the way, do you think the Maris family that has been going to all these games the last week?
They have been. They're there tonight.
No. I'm saying there was a question coming.
Oh, sorry. That. Sorry. I mean, jump down your throat there.
Do you think that they stop now since he tied the record, or do they wait for him to break it?
Well, that's what I don't get. Like, he tied the record. You want to break it. So they should be there to watch him break the record, right? You can't go home now. He tied it. What's the big deal? He didn't pass it.
We have to be there another, like, week. Well, season ends
next
week. They
have to ride this. Yeah, I hope they cancel the plans the rest of the weekend.
Yeah. So I'm just seeing this right now. Gets a big hug from Aaron Boone. Crushed it to left field. So congratulations to Aaron Judge. We'll continue here. Aaron Rodgers on what he saw in the Jumbotron. He tried to clarify this. I was like, on to this. Like, this is wacky. This doesn't really make sense. What the heck is Rodgers talking about? Pat McAfee show.
Well, before the two-point conversion, I did see something on the Jumbotron that I did, that I went down and relayed to Matt. I'm not going to get into exactly what I saw or if it even had a real impact on the play. I think that's kind of inconsequential. But I just thought I saw something. I walked down, I relayed it to Matt. Whether that got relayed to Joe or not, I'm not sure. Either way, it had nothing to do with the two-point conversion. There was not an image of, like, the Microsoft Surface or anything on there. That would have been pretty funny, though. But even still, you know, even if you know something's coming and you relay it, you still got to go out and execute. I mean, I think that was what Spygate was all about, right? They, you know, stealing some signals, but you still got to go out there and execute the play and, in our case, stop them. But it had nothing to do with the two-point conversion.
Can you just say it with me, Hickey? FOS. He is so FOS. What the heck is he talking about that he saw? Even after, I said this right after the game. That made no sense what he was saying. He's so secretive. And now he just made this even more confusing. This witch that he's dating, allegedly, that may or may not be a witch, and it's probably not a witch, has him under some spell with the way that he's talking this entire year.
Yeah, I got nothing for you. I have no idea what he's saying, what he's explaining. I thought it was a play clock, and now I guess it's not the play clock. I'm
lost.
I am lost.
It's kind of a shame. Rodgers and Wilson, for different reasons. I'm talking about Russell Wilson. They're both starting to become unlikable. Like, Aaron Rodgers, the last year, so anytime I hear him speak, I have to take like an aspirin. And for Russell Wilson, he just does things that are so cringeworthy right now. And 5 years ago, no one said a bad word about Rodgers. No one said a bad word about Russell Wilson. But both those guys, like, they're starting to make me want to root against them. But just the way that they handle the media.
You're telling me you're not going to get the Danger Witch?
Oh, no. What is that, like, combining Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers?
That's his...
The Subway sandwich. Yeah. I know what you're saying. But you said Danger Witch. Like, I was making a play on the witch.
I didn't get the witch part. That's a good one. Boom. I like that one. Yeah. You're faster than I am. That's good.
That was such a creepy Subway commercial. That's no, I would not get that. I would need some Pepto-Bismol, probably. You know, I haven't gone to Subway for like the longest time. Well, the draft, when we had to get a quick little bite. And it was pretty good. I thought I would go back to Subway again, and I haven't. So I guess I'm not getting an endorsement from them. They want to endorse. I'm going to Subway all the time. Go to Subway all the time.
The second face behind Russ of the Dangerous right here, Zach Gelb.
I'll give you a better commercial read. There's no doubt about that. Von Miller says Lamar Jackson deserves to be the highest paid player in the NFL.
Lamar is as dynamic as it gets. You know, early on in his career, they tried to say he was just a runner. And, you know, he's did nothing but prove that he's a total package. You know, he can throw the ball. He can run the ball. He could do whatever it takes to win games, to put his teammates in great situations to win. And that's why he should be the highest paid player in the NFL. And that's why he should have the biggest contract out of all the quarterbacks, which will make him, you know, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And he's done everything that he could possibly do to put himself in a great situation for that. And I know that he's past it and he's not going to talk about it, but, you know, even though we got a competition, and even though I want to win, you know, I also have respect for the game, and I know what's right, and it's only right for, you know, the guys to get it done over there.
Well, he's a top 10 quarterback. He's a great quarterback. And we've seen guys that aren't top 10 quarterbacks get paid like they're a great quarterback. So, yeah, it totally makes sense. Just based off that, when he gets a deal done, as the kids would say, this is what all these like reporters try to tweet out to sound like they're cool. He's going to get the bag. We all know that when it comes to Lamar Jackson. Let's hear Josh Allen. Did you see this Ken Dorsey stuff from over the weekend? He was freaking out in the press box. I love this. Some people are like, oh, he's got to calm down. Like, shut up. It's a football game. Guy's losing his mind. I absolutely love it. Josh Allen defends Ken Dorsey's outburst in the booth.
I don't think it was that frustration at all. You show me someone that's okay with losing, I'll show you a loser. You know, he's passionate about his job and what he does. We all feel the same way. We just want to win football games, and that's it.
Hickey, that's not a good quote for you.
Here we go.
If you're okay with
some
losing,
sort of joke,
I'll show you a loser. Well, you're fine with some of your teams just being good, not great, and doing some losing along the way.
I see a higher ceiling than you. That's what we'll say.
You've been looking for that ceiling for 4 or 5 years, and you haven't found the top of that ceiling.
Well, as Michael Jordan said, the ceiling's the roof. Hopefully, I'm almost at the top.
Yeah. Well, your roof has some holes in it. Let's go to Mike McDaniel. He says Tua Tagovailoa is questionable for the game tomorrow night up against the Bengals.
So it's a tricky scenario. Luckily, it's one of the reasons why we feel so fortunate to have Teddy. But if this were like a actual real practice on a normal week, Tua would be limited. And he would be questionable for the game.
I got a feeling he's going to play tomorrow, right? If they're saying this, if it was a normal week, he'd be questionable and limited in practice, that still kind of feels as if you're trending towards playing. I know it's a quick turnaround, not a lot of healing. If he got back onto the field in the second half, and if this is a back injury, feels like they're just going to shoot him up and he'll be on the field.
Agreed.
And also, say what you want about Tua. He's a gamer. Tua Tagovailoa says he will try to help Tyreek Hill get that revenge on Eli Apple.
You know, if Tyreek is matched up with him and we call a play for Tyreek and it's one-on-one, I'm giving Tyreek a shot. Just know that he is getting the ball.
I like that. Tyreek Hill has been supporting him all summer. I'm getting him the ball. Imagine if Eli Apple gets an interception tomorrow night. Oh. You could see a fight on the field between Tyreek Hill and Eli Apple both get ejected. Kind of like Lattimore Evans.
Part 3.
Yeah. Did you see where the baseball landed on the Aaron Judge 61 home run?
In no one's glove.
Yep. Just missed going into a fan's glove and fell into the bullpen.
Costly miss.
If I'm in the bullpen, don't you take that ball and then try to get Judge for a King's ransom?
Like another player? Like if you're a Blue Jays reliever?
Tough luck.
Judge, I got it. $1 million.
Now, I don't know what that baseball costs. The 60th one was, I saw Ravel say, anywhere between $50,000 and $500,000. So it's got to be significant money if that was the 60th home run. $50,000 to $500,000 was the range. It's a big range. But if you just tie it. But, like, to me, there's value in everything. People have money, and they're just stupid with it. And if you could spend it, you spend it. But is there really only value that you'd be interested in if you're going to buy baseball would be 62, the actual record breaker for the most home runs in AL.
Especially if you're a judge and you're going to try to buy it back. I would just spend all my money in 62. Forget 61.
Strategic home run there by Judge. I think he did it intentionally. That's why he was waiting all this time. He changed his swing so he could just hit it into a bullpen. All right, well, come on back. That's the News Brief. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
We got to get Coach O on again. I love just hearing Coach O's voice. I've missed him this college football season. Well, actually, he's been like at every game. He's at a new game each and every week. And he's looking like he's in some good shape for a guy that just got, what, $17 million and probably has been partying the entire time.
I was going to say $17 million can buy some good meals, some good tickets at games, some good airfare. He's living the life.
Well, Coach O does do a lot of running. You always see those videos, right, of him running shirtless and just sweating up a storm in just some ridiculous warm weather place. So maybe we'll connect with Coach Ed Orgeron. Go Tigers! Which he wouldn't be saying anymore. Coming up in a few weeks or so. Anyway, Roddy Jones joined us earlier, ACC Network analyst, and did go to Georgia Tech, and that's where he played his college football. I've been on the kind of take the last day or two that if I'm Georgia Tech, if I'm Auburn, that's going to open up Nebraska, Arizona State, and I could get Deion Sanders to come to my university, I would be on board. Now, I've also said, if I'm Deion Sanders, I'm not going to Arizona State. I'm not going to Georgia Tech. And I'm not even going to Nebraska. I would go to an SEC job. I would go take Auburn. That's the job that I would take, assuming that Brian Harsin does get fired. And I don't think I'll make an ass out of you and me by saying that I believe that Brian Harsin will eventually get fired by the end of the year. Hickey, when we get into this Deion Sanders conversation, yes or no, do you think he's coaching in the Power 5 next year?
I would probably say no.
Do you think he wants to?
That's the thing why I say no. I don't know right now.
He interviewed for TCU last year, or had conversations about TCU, if you recall.
He did. I think yeah, you're right.
Now, his son is the quarterback right now at Jackson State. I don't know. Now, I know that they're making a campaign for him to win the Heisman. If his son goes plays in the FBS, like I don't know what his son's going to be if that's a requirement that he takes that job and he brings his son with him. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of the son. I can't say he can. I can't say he can't. But if he wants to leave Jackson State to go get an FBS job, you could be selective. If you're Deion Sanders, I don't think it's just going to be like one school's going to be interested in you. And if you're some of these, like if you're Arizona State, if you're Georgia Tech, if you're Nebraska, even Auburn at this point, like, you can only go up from here. It's not like you're going to significantly regress where it sets your program back 10 years. Like, what's the upside of Georgia Tech right now? What's the upside at Nebraska right now? What's the upside at Arizona State right now? You have no upside. Deion would bring excitement to that university. Now, are there questions if you get the job done? Sure. But you know, at least bring some excitement in the interim. And then, like we said yesterday, it comes down to, in 2-3 years, can you find a way to improve and steadily win games? That's what it ultimately comes down to. But his name's been thrown out there. If there's genuine interest of him wanting to go there, that's the big question. So I asked Roddy Jones, who played at Georgia Tech, now does a great job, ACC Network analyst, about what his thoughts would be if Georgia Tech can go out there and land Deion Sanders. Listen up.
I don't think Deion Sanders is going to be the new head coach. And I think there would be a large contingent of Georgia Tech fans that would be against it before the hire. And here's why. I think primarily at the fundamental base of it, you're talking about a coach of an FCS program, and the only coach from an FCS program whose name's being thrown around is Deion Sanders because of his name. There's the fundamental thing of like transitioning from a program of that size to an FCS program. And just the stuff that comes along with that from a media perspective, from a recruiting perspective, all of that. Like, in some ways, him being able to sneak up on bigger programs at Jackson State would be easier than being an obvious target at Georgia Tech or any FBS program. So there's that. The other thing is I think that Jackson State has been able to have some advantages that that Georgia Tech certainly wouldn't have. His flexibility of getting players in would not happen at Georgia Tech because of the academic restrictions as much, and I think inexperience with that would be a part of it, certainly. So there's hurdles for Deion Sanders or any FCS coach to jump through that I think would make it more difficult. And then on top of that, there would be, it's a very small sample size, which people would be uneasy with. And then, the biggest game that they played last year, which I would consider the Celebration Bowl, it's a little strange because it is somewhat of a bowl game. They didn't perform very well. South Carolina State kind of whooped them in that game. So when you look at all of those things, it would lead you to saying no, but then Deion Sanders' name carries enough to get him in the conversation. So I don't think Georgia Tech's going to go that way. I see the name thrown out a bunch. I've had to answer that question a bunch. But no, I don't think it's got a chance.
Hickey, I'll just throw this question out to you. If Georgia Tech just hired Jeff Collins a few years ago, and I know he was at Georgia Tech a few times in two different stints, early 2000s and the mid-2000s. But if you just hired Jeff Collins because he went 7-6 and 8-4 at Temple when he was handed a loaded roster in terms of Temple football standards because of the job that Matt Rhule did as a recruiter at Temple, if you were willing to hire Jeff Collins, who was basically like an unknown commodity, now, he was defensive coordinator, sure, at the FBS level, big-time SEC schools, Mississippi State and Florida. Yes, was a head coach at the FBS. Is there that much of a difference in hiring Jeff Collins than, oh, we can't hire Deion Sanders because he's coaching at the FCS level and he's too much of an unknown commodity?
Yeah, I don't buy that argument from Roddy in that perspective. Look at Chris Klieman. He's just on the show yesterday. He's at North Dakota State.
Yep.
And he's come
and he's
over.
He's beat Oklahoma 3 out of 4 years.
Seamlessly
at
Kansas State. I don't buy that as a legitimate reason not to hire him.
Now, also, Kleiman's success, he won like 4 or 5 national championships, only lost 6 games.
But it's a fair question about competition, same thing, same
exactly.
Question.
Exactly. No, I understand what you're saying, but it's a little bit different just because of the amount of success that he had there. But no one knew what Jeff Collins was going to be. And here's most of the times when these colleges hire people, everyone's excited. There's not a lot of times where the hire is getting blasted. The one time in recent memory, and you correct me if I'm wrong, where we really crushed a hire was Brian Harsin. Not that he wasn't good at Boise State, but you got rid of Gus Malzahn, and it was like, why'd you get rid of Gus Malzahn? And the other one, which ended up working, was Ed Orgeron, because everyone at LSU wanted him to go get Tom Herman, and Tom Herman went to Texas. How'd that work out? Ed Orgeron won a national championship. Tom Herman failed at Texas and now is working here for us at CBS Sports. Most of the times when colleges hire a guy, unless you have some established coach coming in, it's an unknown commodity or a retread. And there's some excitement there. I'm trying to think of like Tennessee, they went berserk because it was stupid over the possibility of Greg Schiano getting that job. But really, most, you would agree, right? 9 times out of 10, a team makes a hire. Everyone's like, yeah. Ball coach has a few good things at the press conference, looks in the right camera. Yeah, I like this guy. This guy's going to be good. This is Deion Sanders. If you're telling me Georgia Tech fans got excited about Jeff Collins and the mayhem and the juice and the money downs that he was supposedly bringing to Georgia Tech, imagine you bringing a Pro Football Hall of Famer, especially with the ties in that area. I think they'd be doing cartwheels in the streets. It can't get worse than what Jeff Collins did at Georgia Tech. Guy's best year, missed 3 wins. Right? It can't get worse.
It's, yeah, from where this program is right now, like, if you bring on Deion Sanders, he's an utter failure. Because he could be.
He could win 3 games, though.
But you're right. It's not like this is a program where they're going to go to the dark, dark, dark depths.
Yeah.
Or go much further, sink much further. Georgia Tech really can't go much
further.
You
can't get worse. You could only go up from here. If you get worse at Georgia Tech than what just happened with Jeff Collins, and I know Jeff. Now, I don't take joy in saying these things, but he was a disaster at Georgia Tech. 10 and 28. Three wins. And 1-3 and gets fired. Like, you tell me you can't hire Deion Sanders because he's an FCS coach? Yeah, I don't agree with that. So I just wanted to replay back that audio for you. And if you want to get a reaction on 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll come on back. We'll ring the closing bell. We'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We have the identity of the player in the Blue Jays organization, or the person that's a part of the organization, not a player, that got the Aaron Judge 61st home run ball to tie Roger Maris for most home runs in a single season in the AL. Matt Bushman. He was a pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2016. He is 38 years old. He has been with the Blue Jays since 2019. If you're that guy, are you doing the right thing in the baseball community since you're not a fan and you give back to baseball? Or are you telling Judge, pay up?
I would give it back to him. I feel the obligation that the player deserves the ball if they want it. But I will say, Matt Bushman, do you know who Sarah Walsh is?
Yes.
Former ESPN SportsCenter anchor. Now she works for NFL Network as a reporter.
Doesn't Sarah Walsh... Oh, that's Sarah Kustox. I'm thinking of the Yes Network.
Okay. Sarah Walsh, yeah, is an NFL Network reporter.
Are they married?
They're married. Oh. That is her husband.
So, I don't know what their financial state is, but... they're in a decent spot.
They don't have to hold Judge ransom, we'll say.
This is not your typical then, what is he, a bullpen catcher or whatever?
Bullpen coach. Something like that. And he's out there.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how much that makes a year.
Would you give it to a fan and let them figure it out?
No, that would actually be worse.
Could you imagine? There you go.
That would be worse. If you intentionally gave it to the fan, nice gesture in terms of, okay, you're going to go make a fan a lot of money. But in the baseball community, I actually think you'd rather be the scumbag that asked for money than the guy that gave the ball to the fan.
No, I would rather be the guy who gives it.
Because it falls into the bullpen. Everyone thinks, oh, okay, Judge is getting the baseball back, and then he tosses it up to a fan?
And you don't even know. We don't even know if Judge wants the ball.
Oh, come on. He says he doesn't want the ball. He wants the baseball. He got the 60th home run ball back.
I'd want 62. I don't want 61.
If anything, you want 61 and 62. There was no reason that I know it tied Babe Ruth, but there was like no reason to get the 60th home run.
Well, so make someone else's day. Have a nice Blue Jays fan. Here you go. Here's a lottery ticket right in your hands. There you go, sir. Thanks for coming out today. You'd make that kid's life. Obviously.
Sarah Walsh, you said, right?
Yes.
If I'm Sarah Walsh, I'm texting my husband right now.
Keep that ball.
How did you know that they were married?
I see her on Instagram. She's very funny on Instagram.
Oh, so you Sarah knew Walsh's. Who Matt Bushman was?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
You did not find this out in the last 5 minutes?
Oh, no. Yeah, I knew it for a while. I don't know why, but her, like, on the Explore page on Instagram, a lot of her posts pop up.
So you're very far deep into the Instagram of Sarah Walsh.
I am. Well, she has very funny captions, so, like, I do get a kick out of them.
Is she a Penn Stater?
She is not.
Oh, okay.
She's not part of the
I didn't
the
know
cult.
You were a big Sarah Walsh fan.
She's funny.
Okay.
Gotta, you know, tip my hat.
If I'm Sarah Walsh, honey, you're not coming home if you don't go get money for that baseball. That's what I'm saying. 855-212-4CBS. Should Deion Sanders get a Power 5 job? I think so. Let's talk a little Deion Sanders. Rich in Chicago next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Rich, what do you got?
Hey, good evening. I'm an SEC guy, and I was going to give you some feedback because I'm still pretty connected to Southern football.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, and I've got some reasons for it. And you know, one of the things that I think is out on him, the jury's out on, is can he actually coach? And as you know, if you're going to be an SEC guy, because I think the other jobs, and I'll get into that in a second, but they're kind of viewed as not really attractive. Nebraska, Tech, Arizona State, and to an extent, even Auburn. But you know what I thought about Auburn? Is it would be really funny from a PR point of view, is he would be opposite his advertising buddy Saban for Aflac.
It would be an Aflac war. There would be no doubt about that. It'd be a great commercial.
He can make a fortune on just going to Auburn on just the basis of just his buddy and he go head to head. But one of the things that is a requirement in the SEC, and I think the two schools that have demonstrated this, is you must be a great recruiter if they're going to hire you as a head coach. And I'm not sure he can do that at that level. But you take a look at what
He got talent to the FCS. He had that kid flip from Florida State.
Yeah, but see, that's different. That's different. There's a lot of incentive and money that floated around for him to do that.
That's why, Rich, I want him to go to the SEC because, like, if he goes to Georgia Tech, if he goes to Arizona State, it's like, first off, that does nothing for me. But, I'm not sure about the NIL deals at those schools and the way things are set up. But if he goes to Auburn, it's like you have all the resources you need to go create some buzz to go get some serious talent there.
Well, here's the evidence that I think is the winning formula. Napier has turned Florida around as a great recruiter. You're going to see some good things from the Gators. And look at what Heupel's done at Tennessee. By getting a guy that can recruit and build a program, you need guys like that. Now, the two up-and-coming guys, and I'm going to make a prediction for you of who I think will get these jobs. The two most likely candidates for these jobs at either Auburn or Tech is a lot of people have forgotten, but Bill O'Brien, the Alabama offensive coordinator, he formerly worked as a lead assistant at Tech. And the other guy I like a lot is Chadwell of Coastal Carolina, who will bring the option back to Georgia Tech. He has won as a miracle coach for the last 3 years, big time. And they've gotten, the two Appalachian State guys, one ended up at Louisville, the other guy, he ended up at Missouri. So, and they were 1AA schools. And the other guy that has stood out is the North Dakota State coaches. I mean,
Kleiman, we had him on last night. He's done a good job ever since he's gone to Kansas State and you find a way to beat Oklahoma. I like the Bill O'Brien name, and if you want to tell me that you're feeling better, and thanks for the phone call, Rich, you feel better about Bill O'Brien, and he also has coached at Penn State before, then I could see that as well. Here's my thing. For Dion, I don't think it's fair to question if he could coach, because I think he showed he could coach and be good. Can he be a great coach? That's the question. So I think you're on to something. But overall, it's got to take two to tango. So the school clearly has to be interested, but is Dion interested? And for me, if I'm Dion, I'm not interested in Georgia Tech. I'm not interested in Arizona State. I would only take a bigger job if I'm going to leave, because he doesn't need to do this. So that's just some things that I thought about. And also, you know who's going to be in the hopper for a lot of these jobs? And I think he could be selective, really selective. Doesn't Lance Leipold, Hickey, have to be in the hopper for some of these jobs? I know he's only been there for 2 years at Kansas. He's 4-0 at Kansas. And no offense to the folks at Kansas, that's not a football program you're dying to stay at. He did a good job at Buffalo. All right. I know Turner Gill was at Buffalo, and then he went to Kansas, right?
I think you're right, yeah. I think he did the same move.
And I know that didn't work out to be successful, but Lance Leipold's a guy that he's going to get a lot of job offers. But yeah, O'Brien's definitely in the running for them. But if I'm a school like Georgia Tech or Arizona State and you're just dying for some success or you're dying for some relevance, I would be begging Dion to go there. But if I'm Dion, I'm not going there. All right, we ran out of time for the closing bell today, so I apologize for that. We'll be back tomorrow. Monster show tomorrow. Pro Football Hall of Famer Jim Kelly stopping by. Mike Golic stopping by as well. And you never know what else happens on a very busy Thursday. A big thanks to Kurt Warner for joining us today. In addition to that, Roddy Jones as well, and Leroy Horde. We'll do it all again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. And by the way, Higgy, 4-4 now in this Mets game.
Offense coming alive.
Told them to show some life. They better get another run here, though. I want this to be 5-4 to the ninth and cue the trumpets. First and third, two outs. Who got the hit, by the way? I saw it go into the outfield while I was talking.
Easy E, Eddie Escobar.
Oh, he had the home run, and then he has all four RBIs, right?
You're right. You are right.
And Vientos just strikes out 4-4 as they go to the top of the ninth. All right, he talked tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.